Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We begin our meditation with the gospel lesson, the second of the three verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's a recurring theme, the people of Israel sitting in Egypt, having forgotten who they are, who their God is, and they find themselves slaves. The people in Jeremiah's day, standing under the judgment of God, carried away from God because they did not care to belong to Him or walk in His way. Our age of prosperity. How often and how easily does it happen that we are distracted from being the children of God? Preoccupied, too busy to pay attention to the deep spiritual truths of life. And as things begin to go wrong, how many excuses do we have? Along comes the law of God and speaks the truth to us and holds up the mirror, and we know our guilt. And the answer is not to turn away from God because we're uncomfortable in His presence. And the answer is not to make a set of rules and commands that we would be able to obey, such as, well, I go to church, kind of most Sundays. And the answer is not to repent with a good enough repentance that it will move the hand of God to give salvation. The answer is not in ourselves. And so we come to our theme, behold the man. Behold the man Jesus. This is God who comes among us, and He's serious about that. Is born to be one of us. He takes on Himself flesh and blood, and so He becomes hungry, thirsty, fatigued, weary. He shares both grief and joy. He wept outside Lazarus' tomb. He celebrated with the couple getting married in Cana. And there are even accounts of Jesus being surprised and amazed. Truly human, truly one of us. But in the coming into our world, in being made one of us, He does not set aside His essential personality. He is who He is. So that when we look at Jesus, when we study His life, when we listen to His words, it is not just a human being we see. We see who God is. Behold the man is a fantastic beginning that leads us into deep things. A side note. Isn't that the greatest thing ever? You want to know God? Look closely at that man. You want to figure out what really is spiritual? Listen to him. Listen to his words. And as we listen to him, in Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus called himself gentle and humble in heart. Humility is to willingly take the lower place, the task that has no recognition or very little thanks. Humility. And then there's us, then there's me. Here's how it goes. I expect to be appreciated, right? Let the confirmands take note. I should be respected for what I do. I should be treated a certain way. I should be thanked. Let's roll some more of this out. The waitress was too slow. The meal was not what I expected. The doctor left me waiting. The kids do not appreciate all we do for them. Mom and Dad just don't understand me. Why should I have to fill in the blank? Humility. You know the old joke where someone brags about how humble he is? He is true. I'm truly the most humble person on earth. Old comedy routine. And sometimes someone comes along who starts going on and on like that and doesn't remember that it's a joke. And then sometimes we hear someone talking about how humble or burdened or put upon and on, and as it goes along, because they have a right to expect certain things, and then we realize we're hearing our own voice saying it. And sometimes the closest we get to humility is the opposite. And Jesus says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And puts a blessing at the end of that. You will find rest for your souls. And all the promises of God are yours in Jesus. And Pilate says, behold the man. And when Pilate said, behold the man, whether he wanted to or not, he's inviting us to take the measure of this man. Take the measure of Jesus. Take him seriously. Examine the man Jesus. There's a friend who's in missions likes to say, at the restaurant talking to the waitress, so what do you make of Jesus? Who is he? Take the measure of the man. And when you do, what do you find? Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Years ago, I had a conversation with a student pastor, and we were tossing ideas around. And I tossed this one his way. I said, if Jesus says he is humble in heart, does that mean that as a human being he's humble? Or is that also his nature as God, that he is humble? Takes a little pondering. But when you hear the words gentle and humble in heart, or meek and lowly in heart, when he says in heart, that's who he is. That is the whole Jesus. And we are confronted with this very strange phrase, we have a humble God. And we explored that a little bit more. Well, we explored it a whole lot more. And the conversation went on for days. And it just kept going. And we were tossing back and forth. How do you express that God in his nature is a humble God? Which is something that, frankly, I haven't quite mastered that whole idea. But God is the one who but with all of the power in the universe, decides not to lord it over Adam and Eve, but creates them and creates them in his image. And his idea and his plan is to raise them up so that they would walk with God in eternity and know God in all eternity. Still the plan. It's still what he is doing. And when Adam and Eve wandered off from that original plan, what did God do? Well, as they say in our day, he doubled down. Because he was going to do it regardless, and now the way that he had to do it was to send his son Jesus into the world to be God in the flesh and to show his humility, his willingness, not only to serve, but to be laid low in death. The humblest place in the universe was the cross, where all of the sin of the world came pouring down on him, where all of the judgment that followed that sin came upon him, where the Father turned away from him, where in that moment, God the Father looks at Jesus, and what he sees is the sin of the whole world, and yes, I'm going to use this term, he sees a vile thing. Because there is Jesus smeared with all of your and my sin, and he turns away. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, we should know why. It was our sin that did it. And yet at the same time, the paradox, as God the Father is turning away from Jesus, saying, this is the sin of the whole world, this is vile and wretched. At the same moment, the words of Jesus from John chapter 10 come bursting through. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. God the Father in that moment has never loved Jesus more. And you could drag in verses from the Old Testament. Behold my servant. This is my son. New Testament. Has there ever been any like him who would do this, who would take this lowest place, who would carry all of the sins of every human being, who would do that for me so that I might have the human race restored, and so that the countless multitude that learns about Jesus and his love could come and return and be brought back into the family of God and live forever. Jesus does that. He is the humble God. So behold the man. Behold the man living in faith, trusting and holding on to the words and promises of God, words and promises of the Father, so that even as the judgment is pouring down on him, he has those promises. But they're promises for salvation for the whole world, not just for himself. And obedience. Isaiah 50. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Obedience. We go through the other lessons for today. Lamentations 3. Verse 27, bearing the yoke, going in obedience to the call, beginning from his youth, continuing to work the plan of salvation, even to when he would take the wood like a yoke and carry it to the place of forgiving, the cross. Being silent before the judgment, when the judgment for the sins of others was laid on him and he was the one to carry it in quiet acceptance of the wrath. In the prayer, mouth in the dust prayer, falling down in prayer with his sweat becoming like great drops of blood, and there in Gethsemane, in that extreme humbleness, there is where the hope of our salvation begins to dawn as the greatest of all lights shining in the darkness. The cheek given to one who strikes, filled with insults because there is salvation ahead. And he sets his face like flint. For the Lord, verse 31, will not cast off forever. Why? A second question, a second time through, why? Because he calls us brothers. He calls you and me. He says we are his brothers. And so he had to be made like us in every way, yet without sin, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Because there is no mercy anywhere else than in this God, in human flesh, in this man who is God among us. Nowhere else than in his body on the cross do we find the forgiveness and life that we need. Merciful and faithful high priest. Because, you see, the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you and wants you back. And Jesus came to carry us as our shepherd back into life. The humble God, who will stoop and serve and wash feet, who gives his body and his blood for us this evening to eat and drink, who goes to the cross to take the lowest place so that he may raise you to the highest place. In Jesus' name, amen.